please do it for someone else. I believe that will make this world a better place. It's to educate those that are not aware of what could be done.
Right.
Show the world what can be done.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Daryl Murphy Sr. has been investing since the early 1990s. He's owned property in Brooklyn, New York, Louisiana, and North Carolina. Daryl currently owns 104 units in Augusta, 80 units in Vicksburg, and land in Chester, Pennsylvania. He is part of a team that combined owns over $90 million worth of apartments. Daryl, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me, Sam. Thank you very much for having me.
Hey, man, the pleasure's mine. You know, the same questions I ask everybody who comes on this show is, where did you start? Where are you now? And how did you get there? And I think maybe today, one of the things that our listeners might find valuable is if we spend a little bit more time on maybe where you started.
Okay. Well, I would like to tell you where I'm from. I'm from Brooklyn, New York. I was born and raised Brooklyn, New York in Bed-Stuy area, Bedford-Stuyvesant. And growing up there, a lot of people wouldn't really expect to see someone doing commercial, investing in commercial. But, you know, because of the area and surrounding. But as a young person, I used to always tell my mom, I'm not working for someone else all my life.
Right.
I was young saying this out of my mouth. But as I got older, you know, I got older, got married, went into the military, served 10 years in the Army, got out, and I got served 10 years, got out in 1990 right here in Fort Dix, New Jersey. I started at that time when I got out in 1990. I went to nursing school and I did one other thing. And let me tell you, now, once I call this name out, it's going to tell you just about how old I am. When I got out the military, I went to nursing school. I was watching this infomercial by Carlton Sheets.
Sure.
So if any of your listeners, if y'all don't know about Carlton Sheets, don't worry about it. That was way before your time. But so I went to nursing school and I purchased the Carlton Sheets program.
What did it cost back then? Do you remember?
It wasn't much. To be honest, it wasn't much. Could have been like maybe $90 or something like that.
Okay. That's relatively inexpensive in the grand scheme of education today.
Yeah. It was really cheap.
Right.
But so, and actually I still have it to this day. I still have it. But from there, I was trying to get into it on my own, but then the seminars, I noticed there was other people like doing seminars on fixing flips and stuff. And when I got out the military, by me being here in Jersey, they had a seminar over in Philadelphia. So I went and I took the class and it was about fixing and flipping. But man, I did not want to do that kind of work. I didn't want to get into fixing and flipping. So instead, I took the education. Well, let me go back a little bit. After I did the fix and flip, that's when I purchased a property in Chester, Pennsylvania.
Mm.
I only paid $100 for this property. Now, that should have been a hint to me, but I was new. So that should have been a hint, but that's okay. I was still doing my thing. Now, this is where I made the mistake. In the class, you know, they was teaching everyone, listen, before you buy anything, you should always go out and see what the property looked like.
Sure.
Well, I figured for $100, I was, you know, this was pretty good, right? Man, let me tell you something. I went to the county, paid the $100. They gave me the deed, and I just knew I had something. I took a contractor out to the property, and I'm standing in front of this building, and I looked at him. I said, are we going to be able to, like, fix this and do this and do that? That contractor looked at me, said, are you going to tear this down? You can look straight through this thing, man. So after that, I was like, forget about it. But from there, I really branched out into investing and I started working with some investors. That's how I got some properties, got the property in Louisiana and the Carolinas. And then I started working with people who had poor credit and they wanted to own property. So what I would do is I would lend my credit out. I would purchase the properties and so forth. The investors, all they were doing was fixing and flipping, and then they would just buy me out. And as for the residents, what they were doing. I would get the property, and then their credit was bad. So I would work with them for a year, get their credit back up and running. And then after that, we would just refinance the house and take me off everything. So I did that for a while, but then I wound up getting sick. And after getting sick, I had to really chill out for a while. And I wound up starting my own travel agency. You'll see the correlation between the two after a while. So I started travel agent, ran that for like 10, 15 years. Then I told my wife, I said, I don't want to do this anymore because I'm still working. I want to come back into real estate. That's when I got my license. I think around five years ago, maybe six, got my license, hanging my license over at Keller Williams. Even, you know, right now they hang over there. I started out on the residential side. I was dealing with the banks. I really didn't want to do the, you know, going out having to show houses. I did it, but I really didn't want to do that. Sure. So I wind up, another agent took me under her wing, and she got me into with the banks. And I started building a relationship with the banks and with investors.
Right.
So now I'm working with investors and I'm working with banks. Only thing on the residential side. Now, as I'm doing that, during my second year, that's when my curiosity started peaking. I started book reading on commercial, not necessarily commercial multifamily, but on commercial. But it was out of that was born to me commercial multifamily, where I took a course with Keller Williams, took the course, and I just saw the light and everything. I said, yeah, this is where I want to be, commercial multifamily. And I wind up, I said, I don't want to do nothing. I said, I don't want to do retail. I don't want to do industrial. All I want to do is nothing but commercial multifamily.
Right.
And it was because from there, back about 4 or 5 years ago, once I jumped into the commercial division and left residential, I started my meetup, started having meetups, started building and building and working it. And I remember there were days where I may have had only one or two people at the meetup, but I just kept driving. To where now, you know, I have commercial multifamily mastermind, and now I have, sometimes I can range anywhere from 60 to maybe 80 people that attend. So that's where I came from to where I am now with where I am.
Man, that's awesome. You know, it's interesting how we get distracted along the way, you know, and maybe for you, the business you started for 10 or 15 years wasn't a distraction necessarily, but you know, you've come back full circle to real estate. So intuitively, it seemed like you knew where to be all along. Just took you a little while to get to it. What are some things that maybe you would do differently along your journey?
That's a very good question. I don't think I would, you know, something. I'm a very true believer that everything in life that happens for a reason. I don't think I would change anything, because if you change one thing, it's going to change something else. Sure. I think the path that I had to take is the path that God wanted me to take. So I'm gonna say that I wouldn't change anything, because if you change one thing, it has to be a domino effect that's gonna change something now.
Right, right. Yeah, absolutely. Very true. Did you experience any pitfalls or surprises along the way?
Yes. Yeah, a big surprise. My first deal, 208 units, Tulsa, Oklahoma. I have been looking at this property for a little over a year. The particular property had 50% vacancy. I knew it needed some work. So, and this was my first deal. So I'm building the relationship with investors. Okay. But there was a particular group of investors that they knew of me through KW, and they also knew of me through my meetups. And they saw that my meetups had really grown, had gotten big. So they wanted to meet with me so that we could build this relationship together and so forth. Well, the words that we were supposed, I'm going to put it like this. We were supposed to be like a family and do this together. We was going to JV the deal. Instead, let me tell you what happened. I got this 208 units under contract. Now, we were going back and forth. We saw the deal. They were like, okay, Dow, we got you. You know, we're going to back you. And we're going to JV. So now if we JV and we're partnering on the deal, I don't have to do a syndication. My wife really said, Dow, something isn't right. Something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. So now after a while, it was like, Dow, we want to meet with you. And I'm like, okay. So this day that they wanted to meet with me, now they wanted to they told me that they had other people that they was raising money from. I said, wait. I said, you said this was just going to be you and me. It wasn't going to be no one else. I said, but now you're raising money. Now this is no longer a JV. This is a syndication. So they were like, no, don't worry. I said, well, listen, let me call my attorney and straight. I just want to make sure because I don't want to get in no kind of trouble.
Sure.
I called the syndication attorney. She said, you have to do a syndication. If he's raising money from other people, you got it. So I went back and my wife said, Darryl, just keep watching. So I went back. I said, we have to do a syndication. So now it was going to be just a straight split. That's all it was going to be. So, well, Darryl, we want to implement a waterfall and we want to do this. I said, wait a minute, where is all this coming from? One minute we were going to just be family and do a split. But now you're raising money. Now you want to do a waterfall. Well, we want to protect our investors. I said, I understand that. But it's supposed to have been you and me. So now remember, I'm under contract. I got under contract for that 208. I was flying out the next day to go down and start my due diligence. And that day before my flight, they tell me, well, we're not going to be able to do the deal. And I'm like, what? So I said to my wife, if they back out of this, I said, let's get on the phone and call every investor we know. And sure enough, they backed out the day before I was leaving to start my due diligence. And we called every investor that we knew that would help us. And sure enough, one of my partners came through, said, Darryl, don't worry. I got your back. Go ahead and take care of your business. So that was something, that was an experience that I would never wish on anyone.
Because, but you came out of that with your shirt still on, it sounds like. I mean,
I did not close on that deal. Mm-hmm. My first deal, I did not close on. So I did lose that money to the attorney, but that's okay. The deal was, and the reason why we didn't close on it, the team was there. The property was in a disarray. They didn't have any kind of systems. They didn't have anything. Inside the manila folders, they didn't have no leases. Out of the 104 units that was occupied, the only thing that was in one manila envelope was a money order strip, and that's it.
Oh, wow.
So it was because after a while, we was already in due diligence, walking the units.
Right.
And it was from there that the team said, my property management and everything, we said we called the meeting, and they said, Darryl, this deal, it's best if you just back out of this one. Yeah. And I said, okay, then we're back out.
Right.
And we wound up backing out.
And that's okay, man. How does it go? I forget the phrase, but it's something like you can't regret the deal you didn't do, or you'll never lose money on the deal you didn't do.
Correct.
Which, I mean, obviously you did. You lost your attorney fees, but I mean, in the grand scheme.
But it was education.
Yeah.
I learned. Because we was into day three due diligence.
Mm-hmm.
So that what I learned during those 3 days, I'm being honest with you, Sam, I learned a lot.
Yeah.
And that was my first deal. I have so many pictures. One day when you just have the time, if you ever want to see my pictures, I'll just share them with you. I'll show you. I learned so much during that time, those 3 days.
Right. I can only imagine. Those are the things we learn from. That's for sure. How has scaling your commercial real estate's holdings changed the way you invest?
I'm more educated now. So now I look, at one point, I didn't have parameters. Okay. So you're probably saying, well, what do you mean by that? When I got out of the military, remember what I said? I went to nursing school.
Right.
I worked as a pediatric burn nurse for several years. Right. So as a nurse, I'm used to parameters. If I take your temperature, if it's 100.3, I know you got a temperature. If I take your blood pressure and if it's not right, I know when it's not right because we have parameters.
Sure.
So early on, I didn't have parameters.
Mm.
So when for the markets that I didn't have set markets because I didn't know what I was looking for. When I would hear investors say that they're in a particular market, I would ask, well, what made you pick that market? And then they would say, oh, because it had population growth, it had this and it had that. And then I would say, well, what were you looking for? What was your parameters that made you say, okay, well, this is good? Because, but no one would never tell me like a parameter until I took a course by Neil Bauer. And then I got my parameters. Sam, I used to bounce all over the place. I would look on the East Coast, Maryland. I would look in Baltimore. Then I would jump over to North Dakota, South Dakota. Then I jump down to Mexico. Then I jump down to Utah. Then I jump down to Arizona. One day, my mentor said, if you keep doing that, you will never get a deal.
Right, right.
He said, you're not taking the time to build relationships.
Right.
From that, I wind up, from that moment, when once I got my parameters, that's when I started being able to scale, because I'm building a relationship with the brokers. I'm building a relationship with property managers. And now I'm moving forward. Not only just that, now I'm able to teach parameters to others and so forth, to where now I have scaled from where I had. Now I have scaled to the point where now I have my own, not just my own commercial multifamily meeting, but now I have my own micro team. And now we are branching out, looking at properties and putting LOIs in, stuff like that. So when you look at how am I getting to where I want to go, I'm going back to my back to me being a real estate agent, where I own my own real estate agent, and I had agents up under me in different states. I took the same, my same thought process was there, and I applied it here. So now I'm working with other investors that's in particular cities that they live in, working with them, and we scaling so that we could get cover more territory. I'm working with them. They're working with me. It's just through networking, opening my mouth, and I tell them to do the same thing.
That's fantastic. I've thoroughly enjoyed this. Daryl, you have shared a ton of golden nuggets, and I appreciate you taking the time to share your story in even the more painful, you know, periods of it. I think all of us have been through that. But, you know, everyone's are different. And so, you know, I just appreciate you sharing all that stuff today. Let's jump here into the final four questions. The first question is this. If I gave you just $20,000 to invest in real estate with no previous real estate investing experience, what would you do with it and why?
With no previous, see the question is, with no previous real estate investment experience, what I would do with that $20,000 is get the experience to invest in commercial multifamily. That's what I would do with that. You know, at one time, I used to always say to myself, 10,000, you know, they have some gurus, mentors, they would charge you $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 for their program. And I would say, why are people paying so much money? But you know something, Sam, if you look at what we do, if what we are doing was ever in a college, do you know how much you would wind up paying? So, that $20,000 would definitely go towards the education of me investing in commercial multifamily.
Right. I love that. If you could help our listeners avoid just one mistake in real estate, what would it be and how would you avoid it?
The one mistake. There are so many people right now overpaying for property.
Mm.
I honestly believe that that's a big mistake and it's going to bite them in the behind. See, I may be an investor, but I'm also a commercial agent, and I'm looking at what's going on in the markets. Sam, people are overpaying big time.
Right.
Big time for properties. I'm not trying to be a prophet, but you have to be careful. I think don't make that big mistake and just overpay for a price. Now, this is something that's gonna couple this. I know new investors, I know. You want that first deal. I know you want the first deal because I know how I felt when I wanted my first deal. But I'm asking you not to sacrifice the work that needs to be done. Don't take no shortcuts. I'm asking you not to take those shortcuts. Cross those T's and dot your I's. That's what I'm asking you. Don't make that mistake.
Right. That's great. When it comes to investing in the world, what's one way you're making the world a better place?
I love that. one thing I always said I wanted to do was to teach others how to invest in commercial multifamily. So I started doing that, giving back, teaching how to invest in commercial multifamily. I don't charge no money. I just, you know, I do it. Commercial Multifamily Masterminds, we are an affiliate of the GOB network. We believe in helping. We believe in giving back. We believe in helping you get your deal done. I believe by me helping new people to be able to get their first deal done and then ask them to please, if I did this for you, actually, please do it for someone else. I believe that will make this world a better place. It's to educate those that are not aware of what could be done.
Right.
Show the world what can be done.
Yeah, absolutely right. Absolutely right. Man, that's awesome. That's awesome. Daryl, for listeners want to get in touch with you, what is the best way to do that?
I would say they could email me at Daryl, D-A-R-R-Y-L, at Murphy, M-U-R-P-H-Y, Baynard, B-A-Y-N-A-R-D, group at, what am I talking about? Daryl at murphybaynardgroup.com. You can find me on LinkedIn too. Daryl Murphy, I think it's Daryl Murphy Sr. You can find me on LinkedIn. You can find me on Facebook, Commercial Multifamily Masterminds. So, yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, we'll put all those show notes or all those links in the show notes so people can find find you there as well. Daryl, thank you so much for your time today. This has been fun. I've enjoyed it. It's been fun learning about your
story
and how you've scaled your real estate and just, yeah, your journey thus far. So it's been fun to have you on the show. Do appreciate it.
Sam, thank you very much. I really appreciate you having me.
Yes, sir.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much and hope to catch you on the next episode.